Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, if you've been with us lately, you know that we're in between series, although this is turning into a series of overviews over longer series that I've done in the last couple of years. So, for example, we've covered How He Is Our Deeper Dive, that series I did in an overview a few weeks ago, How He Is Our Family Pastor, that's the portrait we covered, and did a one-off or overview of that particular series, then one on How He Is Our Creative Healer, last time How He Is Our Rescuing Trust, and today we're doing an overview of a series I did about a year and a half ago or so called He Is Our Ultimate Truth. Oh, and these all are just wonderful journeys through the scriptures. Can't wait to unpack this one for you today. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to start at John 14, verse 6, and look at 12 takeaways. It was a four-part series back in 2024. And, it's just a marvelous journey in discovering how the Lord is our ultimate truth that the Scripture points us to. And so we'll be taking that journey today. And by the way, just a quick reminder that all of these messages and these overviews are archived on my website at markpg.org. I call it Helping You Hear God, and it has selections for three-minute videos and articles and one-page printable guides and outlines on all kinds of topics. And then the broadcast box, you can click on that. And then on the next landing page, click on Portraits of God, and then you'll see the list of all of these archived radio messages. So that's at markpg.org. So as we get started, as is our custom, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Lord, I love coming to Your presence. I love sitting at Your feet with my brothers and sisters. I love doing the best I can to unpack Your truths from Your love letters to us. And as we look at how You are our ultimate truth today, oh, I pray I can do it justice. I pray that I can unpack it in a way that just inspires us to go and listen to the entire series. But at least today, we get a peek at how You are indeed our ultimate trust. Oh, thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, my friends. Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to start at John chapter 14, verse 6. We're going to look at these 12 takeaways and this overview of this four-part series I did last year. And the first one is talking about how the Lord, our ultimate truth, yearns for us to know, here's number one, truth is embedded in Jesus Himself. Number one, truth is embedded in Jesus Himself. John 14, 6 puts it this way. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me." You know, this is one of the reasons why I just felt a strong leading of the Lord back in 2014 to begin to really structure my sermon topics and presentations in a way that consistently and regularly points to the Lord Jesus Himself. Last week, I mentioned the story of one of the top preachers in America back in the 70s and 80s, and so E.V. Hill, and how when he went to his church there in Watts at the very beginning, there was an elderly lady on the front row at the far side who would always be nodding and rocking back and forth in her pew saying, get him up now, get him up. And when he asked what she meant, he went to one of the deacons and said, "What is she saying? Why is she saying that all the time?" "Oh, she's just talking about lifting up Jesus. Get him up now." In messages from the scriptures, we ought to be about getting them up, getting them up, getting them way up, because the scriptures themselves point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, as I was taking a journey through that in my own heart, as the Lord was deepening that truth to me, I was going through the Psalms, and in every Psalm, starting in number one all through 150, as I was going through them for the next few weeks, I would have a two-word portrait of God that I felt that particular Psalm was painting for me. And that started me on this journey of doing sermons and sermon series based upon portraits of God, because the scriptures point to the Lord himself and give us vivid descriptions of what he's like. And of course, today we're talking about this portrait, how he is our ultimate truth and how truth is embedded in Jesus himself. Now, here's the second thing. Truth leads us into God's presence. Oh, I love this. Truth leads us into God's presence. Psalm 43, verse 3, if you're a note taker, Psalm 43, verse 3 puts it this way. Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling places. My friend, this is a great, great passage. It tells us that the Bible contains God's truth and is God's truth, but it is a tool, not an end. The Bible points us to the Lord himself. Go higher. The truth that we get from God's reliable scriptures, from his sufficient scriptures, are always pointing us to him. It leads us into his very presence. You know, just a quick illustration. I was in France many years ago, and it was evening time. And at the top of the hour, the Eiffel Tower lights up on all kinds of spectacular lights, orange in those days. I'm assuming it's that way now. But anyway, I decided to take a picture of that and then call my wife. And I pulled out my cell phone, you know, and did that. And it dawned on me, here I am talking to someone on the other side of the world on this little candy bar sized tool that's in my back pocket. I pull it out, do a few numbers, and boom. And I get so refreshed every time I talk to my wife when I'm overseas. And when I hang up, I say, Lord, thank you so much for this phone. This phone is so wonderful. It gives me so many blessings. Well, wait a minute. Well, that may be true, but the greater blessing is who's on the other end. And it was my wife. Grateful for the tool, but the focal point is not the tool. It's who's on the other end. And that's how I believe the Lord intended the Bible to be. We're to see it as a marvelous tool he gave us that points us up to him. Truth leads us into God's presence. Biblical, propositional truth leads us to the truth. His name is Jesus, as we saw in number one. So, number one, truth is embedded in Jesus himself. Number two, truth leads us into God's presence. Number three, the Lord, our ultimate truth, yearns for us to know that truth and grace are in the fullness of Christ. When we get saved and begin to learn what it is to walk in the fullness of Christ, truth and grace are in the fullness of Christ. John 1, 14 puts it this way. And the Word, that is the Logos, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Of course, John 1:14 is the climax of what begins in John 1:1, where it says, In the beginning was the Word, or the Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14 says, The Word became flesh. Jesus Christ to dwell among us. You know, I was talking with a wonderful theologian, a friend of mine that I had come across years and years ago, and we were in New York City at the time when we met in person for the first time after having a long-term, a year-long internet email connection and all on a theological task force we were on together. He had been mentored by C.S. Lewis, and he shared this with me. He said, you know, we were talking about different things, and I felt like sometimes he was dancing around the truth all the time. They were dancing around making a specific point. And so we were having to talk about that because I felt like I was trying to nail Jell-O to the wall when I was asking more specific questions on theological things. When he stopped abruptly when he saw my frustration over lunch, and he said, "Mark, let me ask you a question. Do you know what it says in John 1:1? And I said, "Well, yes, sir. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and you know, the Word was with God, you know, all that." And then, like I quoted a moment ago, and then that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He said this. He said, "Do you know there's another English rendering for the Greek word logos than word?" I said, "No." He said, "Conversation." And it blew me away. I sat back in my chair. What? In the beginning was a conversation. The conversation was with God. The conversation was God, and the conversation became flesh and dwelt among us, and the conversation is full of grace and truth. Wow. What a thought. The Lord is in constant conversation with us by His Holy Spirit, by His indwelling within us, by our union with Him, by our fullness in Christ. And there's an ongoing spirit-to-spirit conversation if we just have ears to hear it. Truth and grace are in the fullness of Christ, my friends. Wow. And the series will go much deeper than this, but I just want to give you a peek, a flavor at all of this. Now we come to number 4. Truth and kindness come as we abide in Him. Truth and kindness come as we abide in Him. Psalm 61, verse 7. Puts it this way, He will abide, and I love the word abide, by the way, I got to stop. Abide means to just kind of, to hang with, to be with, to stay in constant presence with. That's what abiding is. He will abide before God forever, appoint loving kindness and truth that they may preserve Him. Do you abide in Christ? John 15, of course, gives us that famous passage about abiding in Him to bear much fruit, for apart from Him, we can do nothing. He says, "I'm the vine, you are the branches." And being rooted into the main vine as a branch is critical. And the more we are rooted in that way, the more truth and kindness come. Saturate us, become part of our being as we're a conduit of the truth and kindness of the Lord Himself as we abide in Him. Another metaphor, it's like marinating in steaks. One time we were at a buddy's house and he fed us some wonderful steaks. I said, "What's the secret? This is amazing." And he said, "It's in the marinade. I'll give you the recipe." And so he did. And I tried it out a few weeks later and it did not taste like his steaks at all. Thought he gave me the wrong recipe. But when I asked him about it, and a few weeks later, he said, "Well, how long did you marinate the steak in the marinade?" I said, "Oh, a good 20 minutes. "Oh, dude," he said, "you barely got it wet. You burned it right off when you put it on the fire." "Well, how long are you supposed to marinate the steak in the marinade?" He said, "Oh, good 4 or 5 hours, sometimes overnight. That way it gets deep in the meat so that when you do put it on the grill, it doesn't burn off. It stays within there, gets hot, and makes it juicy." Abiding, marinating in Jesus. It's not a quick thing. Spend time in His presence, in His Word, in prayer, my friends. And truth and kindness will come as we abide in Him. Well, here's number 5. We've said truth is embedded in Jesus Himself. Number 2, truth leads us into God's presence. Number 3, truth and grace are in the fullness of Christ. Number 4, truth and kindness come as we abide in Him. Here's number 5, truth and kindness are to be kept deeply in heart. It's kind of an amplification of what we just talked about. Proverbs 3:3 puts it this way, "Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." My friend, when you let the truth and the kindness of God go way past your brain and your mind and your intellect and the academic portion of our going through the scripture together. When you let it go all the way down to your heart with meditation and with application and with conversation with the Lord and with others, when you deeply let it go into your heart, that's what delivers you from approaching the scriptures as a law book, a book of the law, as opposed to a book of grace. A lot of deep stuff here. We spend a lot of time here. There are subtle traps we can fall into when we start treating the Bible like the tax code instead of like the love letters of God. Truth and kindness are to be kept deeply in heart, not just in mind. It's a both and certainly not and either or, because you can go in the other direction if you just go for the heart and you don't get rooted in the academic side and the mind side. It's a both and, not an either or. Now, number six, we're talking about how he is our ultimate truth. Well, truth from God's word sets us free. Truth from God's word sets us free. John 8, 31 through 32 puts it this way. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I love that. The evidence of a true disciple is that they will continue in his word, not has to continue in his word. They will. And in doing so, we will know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Well, I'm a graduate from the University of Texas at Austin years and years ago. Political science and pre-law is what I studied then before I went off to seminary to get my master's and doctoral work done. But on that UT tower, they have an inscription. It says, "The truth shall set you free." Well, of course, that's taken out of context, and it's communicating academic truth will set you free. But we know this scripture is saying the truth, Jesus himself, his holy, reliable, infallible word of God, those are the tools, and he is the one that is the truth that will set us free. Truth from God's word that points us to the truth, who is Jesus Christ, sets us free. I hope you spend tons of time in the word, the love letters of God, my friend. Here's number seven. Truth and compassion preserve us. Truth and compassion preserve us. Psalm 40, verse 11, puts it this way. You, O Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me. Your loving kindness and your truth will continually preserve me. Truth with compassion, truth with love, truth. I mean, my friends, this is what truly transforms our heart and our life in him. It's not truth alone in any kind of spirit. We know the truth can be shared in a very harsh way, an accusational way. And that's not his heartbeat. In fact, when the scripture says that Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." What he's saying there in the middle part is this: "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. For I am gentle and humble in heart." It's through gentleness and humility, it's his tenderness and compassion that preserve us and grow us in him, my friend. Don't divorce truth from compassion. They go together. Number eight, truth leads us to worship in spirit. Truth leads us to worship in spirit. John 4, 24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. It's a both and, not an either or. Now, in the study of hermeneutics, we know that there's kind of a spectrum, a continuum. You know, on the one side, you have the academic side, that we talked about earlier, and you know, studying the scripture and the word studies and all that stuff through the mind. But on the other side, we have more the mystical or existential side, which is a little more subjective. And the scripture in Romans 14 gives us room to have differing viewpoints of what the scripture says, different hermeneutical constructs and all. And so there's a continuum there that we go back and forth. We don't want to lean too far on one or too side to the other. It's a both and, not a either or, in spirit, heart to heart, spirit to spirit. That's the subjective and the mystical and the existential side of the hermeneutical process. But then there's the objective and propositional truth and the academic side of that exercise as well. So keep both in mind, because truth leads us to worship in spirit, and we worship him in spirit and truth. Number 9, truth by the Spirit will guide us. Truth by the Spirit will guide us. John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. You ever have that time in your life when you're kind of dealing with a situation, or you're talking with somebody, or you meet somebody, and you get something maybe is not quite right, it's a little off. You get that gut feeling, something doesn't quite set right with you. You got these little alarm bells going off. You got a little yellow caution light, or maybe a red stop light. You just feel it in your gut, you know. Sometimes we call that women's intuition. We have so many ways of talking about an inner sense that something's not quite right. Well, I've got news for you. I believe those are the whispers of God by his Holy Spirit. Truth by the Spirit will guide us. He will speak to you spirit to spirit. And then, of course, we need confirmation in the scriptures themselves. And of course, there are all kinds of truths and balancing truths and caveats throughout the scriptures. But at any given instant, listen for the whispers of God. Listen to those cautions of the heart. Take a step back. Slow down. Don't rush. Truth by the Spirit will guide us. Take the time to be still, to know your God, to hear his whisper, to hear those deeper things as deep calls to deep. Well, here's number 10 in our list of 12. We're winding it down now. Truth gives us innermost wisdom. Truth gives us innermost wisdom. Psalm 51:6, behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, or innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. You know and you're knower. It's the hidden part of us. We even have some blind spots deep down that we don't see that others have to help us see sometimes. Sometimes we're repressing things, wounds and hurtful things from the past. Sometimes we put ourselves in self-imprisonment. We just shut our hearts off when we've been hurt. We don't want to go to that topic anymore, to that person anymore, or that place anymore. But the Lord wants to give us truth in the innermost being to give us inner healing. My friends, I can tell you, there are times when the Lord takes me to places to discover areas in my heart that I am wounded in, where I need healing that I didn't even know I needed healing. And others, like your mate, can help you see that, or a mentor, or a teacher, or a pastor. Truth gives us innermost wisdom. Don't be afraid to receive truth that's dealing with some hidden parts in you, some blind spots in you that others may be used by God to help you see through his word. And number 11, truth in God's word sanctifies us. John 17:17, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. Elsewhere, the scripture talks about the washing with the word, you know, that husbands and wives, you know, we're to honor them, you know, with the washing of the word and all. We're all washed by the fresh waters of the word. We're to be set apart as holy. That's what sanctification means, as unto the Lord. The scripture itself is sharper than any two-edged sword that can pierce the soul deep within us to get to those hidden parts, to deliver the truth that we need to heal us, like a surgeon's scalpel, with measured and careful healing purposes. The truth of God can search our hearts and heal us in places where we need to be healed, emotionally, spiritually, and even it can turn into physical healing as well. They're all intertwined, and I love that. Finally, He is our ultimate truth, and truth number 12, truth shared in love makes us more Christ-like. Truth shared in love makes us more Christ-like. Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. A couple of things here, my friends. Truth spoken, not held, will bring heals. Now, sometimes we do need to hold it back. We need to wait for the right timing to share something or the right spirit to share something with someone. That's a good thing. Scripture says that like apples of gold and settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. Scripture also tells us in the Proverbs that a soft answer turns away wrath and that the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. So we need to share it in love and the right timing and the right heart and the right spirit and the right place, not critically and accusationally, not out of hurt and anger. And to the degree we cultivate how to share truth in love, well, we become more and more like Christ. Oh, my friends, He is our ultimate truth. And these are just 12 ways, and you can go to the series on my website at markpg.org to take a more specific, more gentle walk through this whole topic of how the Lord is our ultimate truth. Well, Lord, thank You for being that for us. We trust You and we love You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out markpg.org for more. Till next time, fall in love with Jesus, our ultimate truth.